up and I'm glad that you're back. On WTSQ 88.1 FM, Dublon, featuring the amazing Ezra Furman with I'm Glad That We Broke Up and I'm Glad That We're Back. For that Lone Lady from Manchester, with There Is No Logic. Lone Lady has a new album coming out very, very soon, and we're really, really excited for it. 12:31 here in Charleston, West Virginia, 9:30 in Los Angeles, and I think it's 5:30 in the UK. Gary, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're pretty quiet, but I can just about, yeah.
You know what? That's what my wife always says. My wife always says I'm very, very quiet. And I'm like, I'm married to you, and you're such a force of nature. Of course I'm going to be quiet. Gary, how are you? How is Gemma? How are the girls doing?
We're okay, thank you. We've all had our vaccinations now, so that's comforting. The children struggled a little bit. When this year started, January time came along and they began to crumble somewhat. So we were very concerned about that. But they're picking up now. They're back at school. They're back with their friends. It seems to have made a huge difference to them. So, yes, things are picking up. Thank you.
Gary, I know that you and your producer, Abe Fenton, have been working on the new album, which is called Intruder, out now. You guys have been working on it for a while. What was it like when lockdown occurred in LA and where Aid is in England? Did that affect the production of the record much, or were you guys just locked in your studios and it just kind of went all over your head?
Yeah, a little bit much. You know, the way we work remotely anyway. You know, Aid's in Britain, I'm in Los Angeles. And so the whole process is one of the same in trials, you know, backwards and forwards, and then we get on FaceTime or, you know, Zoom or whatever, and we talk about it face to face with the music playing. So, you know, it working that way is very, very familiar to us. So when the lockdown happened, it didn't change that at all. You know, we just carried on working as we did before. And from my point of view, you know, 3/4 of the album's already done. You know, right. I was well underway with it. The themes behind it, the whole climate change connection and, you know, being at war with the planet and all of that was already there. So I just carried on. You wake up in the morning, you see your kids and you go to work, you come in at night. You know, so pretty much, you know, when you're making a record, it doesn't really matter whether you can go out or not, or whether the world around you is closing down, because you're kind of separated from it anyway. You're already in your own little work bubble, and so it didn't really have that much of an effect to begin with. You know, you're very aware of what's going on, and it's horrible, you know, and there's people around you that are really suffering because of it. You are very, very aware of it, but in terms of my actual day-to-day work, it really didn't have much of an effect at all. In a way, it actually fed into what I was doing, you know, because the whole idea of the album is about, you know, the way the earth feels about us and the damage that we're doing and it fighting back against us. And so when COVID came along, it fed perfectly into that narrative. You know, that could be an example, if you like, of the earth fighting back against us, you know, and trying to do things to bring our numbers down. So it really didn't have an effect on me until much later in the year, if I'm honest. And then it did. You know, when the album was finished, I wrote a book as well in the summer. When all that particular work was done, and I was sort of prepared to sort of re-emerge back into the world, it wasn't there in the same way. And I think at that point, it really hit me more deeply, you know, exactly what had been going on, how bad it was.
Guys, on the phone, Gary Newman calling from Los Angeles. The new album is called Intruder. Gary, number 2 on the UK charts. When you got the note or the call or the email or the text that Intruder was number 2, what was your first reaction?
Well, I was amazed, actually. You know, you get a midweek position on the Monday before, so to give you an idea of how it's doing in relation to competition. So I knew that it had started better than I'd expected. Because there was Pink was out there, 21 Pilots were out there, some other really big people were out there. So I didn't expect the album to do as well. And then I've been in this position before, you know, where there's a big flush of flurry of interest in the weekend, it comes out, and then sort of nobody buys it from Monday onwards. And so I've had these sort of good first indicator positions before, only to see it drop out of the chart completely. And I was sort of expecting not quite as bad as that, because the last album did well also. But, you know, I wasn't overly confident that it would stay. I was thinking, you know, if it could stay top 10, I should be very happy with that, you know, because that's much better than I was doing 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
So when it stayed at number 2, yeah, incredibly exciting, to be honest. Really, really unexpected, because the competition was fierce. You know, some really, really good albums out there, some really good people. So, yeah, it was amazing. And we were actually number one in terms of physical sales.
Right.
We were number one in the UK. And we lost out hugely due to streaming. There were, I think Olivia was getting amazing streaming numbers, which just killed me completely. But it was good to be sort of doing well in the vinyl and CD sales.
I can tell you that my wife, Caitlin, is probably responsible for about 45% of Olivia's stream. It is her album is really, really, really good. Gary, the album is called Intruder. It's we talk about climate change from the planet's point of view. Gary, can you tell me about your daughter Echo's poem, Earth?
Yeah, well, that's how it all started. She wrote the Earth poem. When she was just late 11 or 12, I can't remember for sure, but a couple of years ago now, around about the time I was beginning to get ideas from Judah together, and but I wasn't sure what direction to take it. And, you know, I knew I wanted to say with climate change,
right,
but I wasn't sure how to do it. You know, I didn't want to talk about sea levels going up and ice caps melting. You know, I didn't want it to be like a science journal, you know, set for music. I just didn't know how to do it. And then I read her poem, which is essentially the Earth speaking to all the other planets and explaining to them why it was sad and why it was upset and all these horrible people and all the things that they're doing.
Right.
And it was so beautifully done. And I just thought, well, I was really proud of one thing. I thought it was a really lovely poem that she'd written for somebody so young as well.
Yeah.
But then I thought, that's it. You know, that's the idea. That will work. And so I sort of stole the idea completely, shamelessly stole the idea, and turned it into an album. So the album is much the same idea as the poem, in that it's everything is on the Earth's point of view. You know, if the Earth could speak, what would it say? How would it express the way it feels about us and about the things that we've done to the planet? So every song on the album is sung as if I'm the planet speaking, singing.
Gary, do you think if the Earth could speak to us, do you think that many of us would actually listen?
Well, I think if it could, if it was able to actually have a voice, then yeah, I think we would, because it'd be too frightened not to.
Yes.
But I think, in truth, I think it is. You know, the truth of it is, there's a song on the album called I Am Screaming, which says exactly that. You know, it is talking to us, and it is screaming. And we're not noticing, and we're not listening, and we're not believing. But, you know, obviously there are plenty of people that are doing it. You know, there's some amazing people out there doing everything they can to try to convince the rest of humanity that there is a problem. You know, world leaders especially, you know, need to be convinced. But there are a huge amount of people that are not listening, are not aware of it. You know, they will look at all the different signals and say, well, we've had this before. Yes. It's not as simple as that. You know, we've not had it to this degree before, and as many numbers before. You know, combined elements before. So, it is talking to us, and we're not enough of us to listen.
We all definitely need to pay attention to what our planet is saying to us. Gary Newman's on the phone from Los Angeles. Gary, this fall, you guys are going to go on the road. You're going to go on the road in the States. You're going to go on the road worldwide. Is there anything that you guys are doing differently because of the pandemic? I know the pandemic is, they're saying, is winding down, but how are you guys going about this tour differently, if at all?
Well, it's a very rapidly evolving situation. So any plan that you put in today, at the beginning of June, will almost certainly be sort of invalid and unworkable or unnecessary by the time sort of mid-September comes along, certainly by the time the European stuff starts, which is well into next year. So it is very difficult. It's difficult to draw up any kind of a meaningful plan or process or system, you know, to deal with what's coming, because we don't know what's coming. You know, we don't know how the world is going to be in September or on October. So it's a very fluid thing. So all I can say is that we're looking at it constantly. We're talking to the various venues and promoters that are involved with the tour and the agent, obviously. The various crew members and band members that we have, you know, everyone has an opinion and, right. And they need to be heard, you know, because it's their lives that we're talking about. So it is extremely difficult. That's the truth of it. It's extremely difficult to know what to do, this far in advance. But certainly by the time it comes and the tour is here, we'll be reacting very, very, clearly to the situation that we find at that time. And I think that's the best any of us can do, to be honest.
I am really impressed and excited to see how flexible a lot of our friends in the music business have been since things have started to open up, and fingers crossed that everything works out and continues to get better. Gary, on June 17th, you're doing a show streaming. You're going to be streaming a show. What's that going to be like? And have you done that before?
I've never done anything like it before. No, we actually filmed it about 10 days ago.
Right.
On the 21st, we filmed it. So the actual performance has been done already. It will be streamed out on the 17th, but the recording has already been done. That was weird, actually. You don't realize that, you know, I didn't realize anyway, how much of your performance comes from the energy of the crowd.
Yeah.
I'm only used to really to doing regular live stuff. You're standing in front of the crowd, and the crowd are doing their thing, and you're feeding off of the energy from that. And a lot of that, the energy that comes back from the crowd, gives you the confidence to do the thing that you need to do. You know, the better the crowd is, the more hockey and arrogant you feel.
Yes.
You know, the more comfortable you feel to strut around the stage and do your thing. When it's not there, you know, when you're doing a performance to just, you know, half a dozen camera crew and some people standing at the edge that, you know, that are assisting, it's a totally different world. And we were all bothered by it, all of us, you know, all the band. You know, we all talked to each other quite a lot before we did it. You know, how are we going to do it? If you're just pretending to be massively, you know, into the thing that you're doing, it's going to show.
Right.
You know, are we going to feel like that? You know, are you going to be able to get into it in the same way that you would if there was a crowd there? It's that element of showing off. You know, if there's no crowd there, you can't show off to quite the same degree, and it's going to feel a bit weird. So we really struggled with it, but we found that having got into it and got underway, then you almost forget, in a sense, that there isn't a crowd there. You're feeding off of each other,
right,
in that sense. I look over the guitar player and I can see him, you know, going mad, and that makes me excited, and, you know, we all kind of fed off of each other. So it was all right. It was good. It was a good thing to do. But it is definitely nothing like a real gig. Nothing like it. And for me, it would never replace. You know, I would never switch to doing the streaming events, that sort of thing. Because it just, there is so much of why we do this for a living. You know, there is so much missing when you do that. I think from a fan's point of view, to sit at home and watch it, it'll look great and it'll be brilliant and, you know, really exciting, and it will look just like you're at a gig. But to actually be the person doing it, you know, there is so much involved. You're not traveling. I like the traveling. I like moving from city to city and meeting different people and standing on different stages and getting those different vibes. You know, I like, there's so much of it that just isn't there. But the biggest thing, of course, is that the energy from the crowd itself. You know, when you walk out and the lights go down and you walk out and the crowd starts going mad, you know, That moment is so exhilarating. There isn't anything else like it, and streaming certainly doesn't have it.
There's that feeling where you can feel the hair on the back of your neck go up, as you said, as you hear the people go, oh, look, there's Gary, or there's whoever you're going to see, and everybody starts screaming. It's a social thing. You like to be at shows with your friends. If you're on stage, Gary, your tour family, that's those are your friends. And it's all so much of this is about personal connection, which is something we've lost over the last 14 months or so, but we're getting back. Gary, I only have you for a few more minutes. I want to ask you a couple of questions. One, are you going to be able to take some time off this weekend to watch the Azerbaijani Grand Prix?
Yes. If at all possible, I love Formula One. So whenever possible, I do try to find a few hours to watch it. So yes, this weekend I will be able to. I'm back home in Los Angeles now, so it makes it a bit easier.
Do you think any higher of me, less of me, or is it just neutral that I'm a big Lando Norris fan?
No, that's the cool thing. I love Lando Norris. That's great.
That was probably
isn't he great, Lando Norris?
That was probably the one question I wanted to ask you that I was most nervous about. I'm like, is Gary going to hate me because I'm a Lando fan?
No! Oh, okay, because you're not like Lando Norris. He's British driving the McLaren. Come on.
McLaren is, that's my team, Gary. That's my team. You know how some of us might believe in higher powers or lower powers? I believe in McLaren Racing.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah, I'm British, so I have a bias towards it. But yeah, no, Lando Norris and McLaren, that's a lovely thing to see.
Gary,
he's good. He's so fast.
My goodness, you know, we have Gary. You've been listening to music your entire life, like the rest of us. You have rock and roll stars that maybe you hear their records, and you have rock and roll stars who you watch on TV when they're driving a Formula One car. I'm saying that, like, you know, I will buy the new Gary Newman record, but if Lando Norris or anybody from McLaren decided to do an album of them reading from the Nottingham phone book, I would buy that record too.
I tell you,
Gary, your new album is called Intruder. We're going to play, we're going to let you go, but we're going to play a bunch of tracks from it. It's out now. It's number 2 in the freaking UK. Go to Gary's website, go to your record stores, buy the record. Gary's going to be coming to the States. Well, he's in the States, but the band's going to be coming to the States this fall. Gary Newman, on behalf of everybody here in Charleston, I want to thank you. Your art with Intruder, with all of your other records, have helped a lot of us get through some very rough times, be it recently or in the past. And I can't even say how much we love you and we appreciate you, and we are glad we're going to see you on the road this fall.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Very kind. Appreciate that.
And thank you to your guy, Jack. Thank you to Tom Sloan. Gary, give our love to Gemma and the girls, and we will see you very soon.
Thank you, man. I will do. Thank you.
Take Bye-bye. Care. Guys, here's Gary Newman, an Intruder.
I could listen to you scream pretty music to my ears. I could listen to it all day if you want me to. I could talk about my world, how you brought about ruin. I could talk about your grief if you want me to. I could look into evil, see a heart just like mine. Or I could throw away reason if you want me to. Or I could walk into darkness, find the hole you crawled into. I would be the intruder if you want me to. You can whisper your Lord's Prayer and pretend that it matters. Lay down your wits and just listen. Ooh. You can hide in the shadows and pretend I won't find you. Lay down your wits and just listen. I could listen to more lies about promises you kept. Will you walk on water like you said you would? I could make you my prisoner, but you a dead man talking. When you found the ocean like you said you would. You can pray for God's mercy and pretend that he hates you, but then you wish you'd just listen. You can drown in your sorrow and pretend you are helpless, but then you wish you'd just listen. This is always your one life, a warm pretend that it. You wish you'd just listen. This was always your one alone. I won't pretend that I'll miss you. And now you wish you'd just listen. Pieces into me. the same. Come, I trust you to keep what's in you.